الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention, grant peace and send His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. You probably remember as a younger boy when you dreamt of having your own car. In fact, this is something that every young man at some point in time becomes fascinated in, a vehicle. He looks at his father's car, his uncle's car, his grandfather's car, and he says to himself, inshallah, one day I will have a car. And many people set this as a goal, and they work hard and they strive and they go to work and they add the riyal over the riyal until such time where they can afford to buy this car. And they do. However, an amazing situation occurs. After purchasing the car, which a lot of effort was put into, a lot of money was spent on, and a lot of thoughts were wasted in the process, once the person has the car, he doesn't take care of it anymore. He doesn't change the oil. He doesn't get it washed. He doesn't keep it clean. And naturally, within a short time, this car is a piece of junk. And one wonders, how could someone do this? When you were looking forward to something and you finally received it, you are expected to take care of that thing so that you may maintain it. Otherwise, your efforts were worthless. And even though I'm striking a worldly example, it is no secret to you that I'm aiming at something larger than that. And it is children. In the same manner, every young man wishes at some point to get married and have his own children. And with much effort, a lot more than a car, especially nowadays, finally you get married. Finally, your wife is pregnant. Finally, the baby comes. And then when the baby comes, it's like we don't care anymore. Let him go to waste. Just like the car, he also becomes a piece of junk. But there's a vast difference between the first and the second. If your car is a piece of junk, life goes on, big deal. But if your son or daughter are a piece of junk, you may go to Jahannam because of that piece of junk. Why? Because of irresponsibility. Irresponsibility. And so when we want to look into this matter, I will not go back to the people who are into studying the social aspects of life, or philosophers, or psychiatrists. We could care less what these people have to say, because we have in the Quran and the Sunnah what suffices us from having to refer to any other external references and resources. But the problem with us usually is that we do not investigate enough into the Quran and the Sunnah, so we will have the clear picture of what our children have as a right and what we have as parents as a right over our children. Allow me to begin by quoting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who told us in the Quran, المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا. Wealth, المال, wealth and children are the adornment. Adornment is something which makes something looks beautiful. Your clothes are an adornment because they make you look appealing. Women wear jewelry so that they may look appealing to their husbands. This is a form of adornment. And the children are in the same sense, means of adornment. When your son looks good, you look good. When your son doesn't look good, you don't look good. You don't believe me? Remember the last time you visited school, and the principal and the teachers, everyone had nothing but negative to say about your son. How you felt? You wish the earth would swallow you and you wouldn't have to deal with this, hearing people criticizing your son or daughter. On the other hand, imagine when you went to school. Remember when you went to school and everybody was praising your son or daughter. How you felt? You felt good. They are an adornment. That's what Allah told us in the Quran. However, Allah continued to say, the righteous deeds are more lasting. That last are better in terms of reward and better in respect of hope with your Lord. So that we do not lay extra emphasis on our wealth and children and forget about the righteous deeds for which we were created. There must be balance in the life of a Muslim. In another ayah, Allah tells us, اعلموا أنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة وأن الله عنده أجر عظيم. أجر عظيم. Know that your possessions and your children are but a trial, and that with Allah is a great reward. They're a test. When you have been given this blessing of a child, what do you do with this child? How do you deal with this child? It's a trial from Allah. If you act right, then you will be successful. If you act wrong, then you will be regretful. And there's no other option. The Prophet ﷺ reinforced this understanding with his narrations. When he told us, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَاعِيَتِهِ. Each one of you is a shepherd, and he is responsible for his flock. He is responsible for those under him. Then he went on sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to mention, brother, sit whatever, pray whatever you are. Do not cross over people's shoulders. This is impermissible. And you cannot come and sit in someone's spot in the salah while he's calling the adhan. If you come early, barakallah feek, you take a spot in the front. Or you find a legitimate spot in the front, you may move forward. But to move forward and bother the Muslims during khutbah is haram. And your reward will be wasted. And you'll be harming the Muslims. This is impermissible. We need to know the teachings of Islam. If you love to be in the first row, where were you at 11:30? Where were you at 11:30? You love to be in the front, then come early to the front. But to come late and then take the spot of someone who came early, wallah, this is unacceptable. I hope inshallah in the future we will act accordingly and understand the rights that we have over each other. I'm sure everyone is looking forward to such behavior. Inshallah, once the reminder comes. Excuse me for having to say it publicly, but I think everyone needs to know the ruling, because I see this happen often. Come late, come to the front. It doesn't work. You come late, stay in the back. Unless there's a spot empty, which is impossible, that someone will leave a spot empty in the front. Back to our discussion. So then, each one of us is responsible for those under his care. And the word that is used in the hadith is mas'ul. And mas'ul is derived from the word su'al. Su'al means question. In other words, you will be questioned about all those under your care. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ يَرَاهُ اللَّهُ بِرَعِيَّةٍ لَا يُحِيطُ بِهَا نُصْحًا إِلَّا لَمْ يَجِدْ رَائِحَةَ الْجَنَّةِ أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. There isn't a person whom Allah makes him in charge of some people and he does not take care of them properly, except that he will not smell the fragrance of Jannah. Once you are responsible, then you need to carry out the responsibility. So are we doing so? Are we actually implementing this? Our children, what is their right? What is their life like today? Many of us unfortunately have a huge misconception. We believe by getting a good job, making a decent salary, providing our children with a shelter and food and drink, sending them to a prestigious school, that we have fulfilled our rights. Here's some money, go buy some chocolate and candy from the bagala. I'm doing the responsibility towards my child. This is incorrect. This is actually a very limited aspect of our responsibility, perhaps the least significant. Because if you don't have any money, Allah will not hold you accountable for not spending. And naturally, you will spend on those under your care. Very rarely do you find someone not spending on his family unless they have a mental disease. Usually people overspend on their family. But where does the problem lie? It lies in the teachings of Islam. How we deal with the teachings of Islam, that is. You will find these children of today as if they came from another planet other than the one that we're living on today. Strange, odd kids. But before we blame the kids, are they really deserving of blame? No. A child is like clay. However you mold it, you leave it to dry, it will dry. It's a child. We are responsible. We are responsible for their upbringing Islamically. And what will follow right now, inshallah, are some guidelines. Some, not all. You cannot deal with the whole thing with the khutbah. Some guidelines concerning the rights of our children, which unfortunately, many of them are not receiving from us today, even though we may think otherwise. And that begins, without a doubt, by choosing the right mother. Before the son comes or the daughter comes into existence, the mother should be a woman of virtue. When you go looking for a wife, be careful of getting stuck on her money, her beauty, her lineage, while abandoning her religious commitment. How often has a pretty woman destroyed a family? How often has a good-looking woman made life miserable for the husband? How often was a woman from a higher lineage than the man continued to brag and belittle him because she came from such and such family and he's not from that caliber? How often has this caused problems? When the religious commitment of the woman is absent. If she has religious commitment and money and lineage and beauty, alhamdulillah, it doesn't get better than this in this dunya. It gets better than that in the life to come with Hur al-Eid. But if you have these, if you don't, the most important thing is her religious commitment. Choose a righteous woman who fears Allah, so that she will fear Allah concerning your children. When the child is born, he has particular rights in terms of what animals are slaughtered, known as nasika, even though it also has the name of aqiqa. But the Prophet ﷺ had criticized the term aqiqa because it comes from uquq, which is undutifulness. But it was still used among the Arabs. Nasika is more adequate in this context, which is two sheep slaughtered for the boy and a single sheep slaughtered for the girl upon their birth. Furthermore, 7 days into their birth, and it could be delayed until later time if one is able to afford so. Along with the tahneek, rubbing their gums with some dates, preferably, otherwise anything sweet. Do not try to feed them a breakfast when they're first born. Just rubbing their gums with some dates that has been chewed. This is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Give them a good name. And concerning the names, we have a very odd approach today among the Muslims. Sometimes you meet brothers and they tell you their names and you don't believe. You have to hear it again. How did the name come about? By turning the Quran into a book of games. Some people really, when they want to name their children, they get the Quran, then open the book, put their finger, whatever the finger comes, this is the name of the child. Maybe his name is Nar, because his finger came on the word Nar. Hellfire. A'udhu billah. So these children have rights to be named properly. Not any name that you find in the Quran is a suitable name for your child. And give him a name which the people will be able to pronounce, people will be able to say, and he will not be made fun of in the future. The most beloved names to Allah are Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. And of course you can name Muhammad, Ahmad, whatever you want. But stick to the names that make sense. Names that do not indicate praise. Mustadi'ur Rahman, Waliyur Rahman. You know what that means? One who's receiving life from Allah, the friend of Allah, mashallah. Maybe he's a wicked person smoking cigarettes all day. We're still going to call him Waliyur Rahman? La wallah, he's not. So don't give names that have praise for people. This is not from the sunnah. And the Prophet ﷺ used to change someone's name if it contained self-praise. So keep it real and normal. Don't go to extremes in the ugly name or beautiful names when the child may not be able to entertain it when he's older. The child has the right to be nursed. Nursing, breastfeeding, call it whatever you want. This is binding on the parents. And I'm not going to tell you what the doctors say, because if you look it up online, it will be clear to you that today, according to studies, and I will tell you, according to studies, the best means of nutrition for the children is the mother's milk, not anything else. And Allah had told us that in the Quran 1400 years ago, that the woman should nurse her child for 2 years. 2 years. This is the best means for them to be brought up with a good intellect and healthy body. So don't let the woman be too lazy. A month into the business says, I don't want to breastfeed anymore, bring the bottled milk and the processed milk. No. Encourage her to nurse the child. It is a right which the child has over us. As the child grows up, the first and most important thing we need to instill in them is the tawheed, love of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to give you an evidence for that, I will not go far. You all have read Surah Luqman at some point in time. Luqman was a wise man whom Allah praised in the Quran and dedicated a whole chapter and named it after him. And among the distinct qualities of Luqman is that he advised his son in the Quran, as Allah quoted by saying, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ يَا بُنَيْهِ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. And mentioned when Luqman said to his son, Oh my son, do not ascribe any partners with Allah. Do not go to the grave sites calling upon the dead. Do not go to the Masjid al-Nabawi calling upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not call upon anyone but Allah. Don't make equals with Allah. Verily shirk is the greatest oppression. It is greater than any zulm in the world. It will take you straight to Jahannam. You will never get out. Is there anything worse than that? Something which will guarantee you eternal burning in the hellfire is shirk. And the first thing we advise the children is that they don't have any shirk. They depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believe in Allah, His names and His attributes. And that can be done from a very, very young age. As young as 2-3 years old, you can begin telling them. Always use the terms, insha'Allah, alhamdulillah. If you do this, Allah will love you. If you do that, Allah will not love you. Let them always be mindful of Allah. Let it be part of their life. Don't make their whole life, if you do this, I'll give you PlayStation. If you don't, I will put it away. That's our life. That's our children. Which game can he beat? Which cricket player is the most important in the world? Which soccer player is the biggest fan that he follows? This is their life. Unfortunately, we think we're teaching them stuff. Their whole life is school, games, sports. Islam has no part. If we send them to tahfiz school, we keep mentioning it for years. Wallah, I send my son to tahfiz school. And what? He memorized Juz'a Amma? Okay, and what? Tell us, young man, what did you benefit from Juz'a Amma? I don't know what it means. Oh, mashallah. But you are a hafiz. Congratulations, my son. Let us give you some gifts and rewards. We have become stuck on some issues, and we think we've done our rights, their rights. Fulfill their rights by letting them memorize Juz'a Amma or the Quran. No, Habibi. No, wallahi, there's a lot more to it. If he were to memorize Surah Al-Ikhlas with the understanding and the meaning, it is far better than memorizing the Quran without knowing what it says. Our deen is not ritualism. This is not Hinduism, not Buddhism, not Christianity. It is Islam. Islam is based on understanding of the textual evidences, not the memorization of the textual evidences and doing them as a ritual like everybody else. We don't have that in Islam. And we need to have that. We learn this from the kuffar and we try to teach it to our children. We need to stop that. They need to understand the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Luqman made this particular advice. Then later on in the surah, Luqman said to his son, Ya Bunay, look at the way he spoke to him. Oh my son. Bunay is a gentle manner to address the child. He could have said, Ya Ghulam, young boy. Bunay is my son, almost saying my beloved son. Aqim al-salah. Establish the salah. Establish the salah. How many of our children establish the salah? And when they establish the salah, in what manner do they establish the salah? If they are below, under 7 years old, you have no problem. But once they reach the age of seven, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Muru awladakum bis salati wa hum abna'u sab'a, wadribuhum 'alayha wa hum abna'u 'ashr, wa farriqu bainahum fil madaji'." command your children. Another hadith, علموا, teach your children how to pray at the age of 7. Meaning when he's 7 years old, he should know how to make wudu, how to clean himself after using the bathroom before the wudu, how to make wudu, and how to pray from the takbirat al-ihram until the taslim. He doesn't come to the salah to act like a clown in the masjid. The whole salah he's playing and scratching and jumping and sitting and disturbing the people. This is unacceptable. If your son is like this, keep him at home. Teach him how to pray properly. If you don't pray properly, don't wonder why he doesn't pray properly. If we move the whole time in the salah, the children will move double. If we act right, they will act right. It's a relationship between a father and a son. Needless to say, you all know if you have children how it is. We are the example for them. We are the example for them. They see us, they follow us, they imitate us. Salah. Then he told them, وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَانْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, and command all that which is good, and forbid all that which is evil. He's teaching his son da'wah at a young age. When you see something right, then help the people do it. When you see something wrong, then stop the people from doing it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You still hear me. Even if I put the mic away, you can still hear me. Focus on the topic here. When you see something right, enjoin it. When you see something wrong, stop it. Teaching the child from a very young age, wasbir ala ma asabak, and be patient concerning everything that befalls you. Verily, this is from the matters that require strong determination. This is what Luqman was teaching his son. Be patient. When a calamity befalls, do not lose hope and despair in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he told them in the next ayah, وَلَا تُصَعِرْ قَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. And do not turn your face away from people with pride. Don't be arrogant. I am from this nationality, and you are from that nationality. Get away from me. Some children are sick to that extent. Why? Because their fathers and their mothers at home did not teach them that Islam does not make a distinction between people based on passports and nationalities. That the only thing which favors us over each other is our piety only. But this sickness remains among the Muslims today of various nationalities. I'm not trying to pinpoint a particular nationality here. You all know that this is a disease. Superiority because of my passport. And he was teaching his son not to do that. And do not walk upon earth boastfully, being prideful, being arrogant. Allah does not love every arrogant boaster. Luqman was teaching his son the deen of Islam. And Allah called him Luqmanul Hakim, Luqman the wise. And his wisdom lied in the fact that his most important instructions to his children were how his son should live in Islamic life. So my brothers in Islam, do we do the same? Our children, what have we given them so far? What have we given them up to today? Have we just paid for their tuition in school? Made sure they had a big screen TV at home? And provided them with all the material world? And we think, khalas, we have done our rights? We have fulfilled their rights? We have given them what they deserve? Or are we really leading an Islamic life at home? And our children have been taught the etiquette. Allahu ta'ala alam. Allah knows what each one of us is doing. Whatever the situation is, the objective is that we rectify and we change our ways. And in the next part of the khutbah, inshallah, we'll be dealing with more etiquettes and guidelines concerning the rights of our children. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, brothers in Islam, Allah سبحانه وتعالى said in the Quran, يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. O you who have believed, protect yourselves and your children. Protect yourselves and your family, to be more particular, from the hellfire. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara, the fire. Its fuel will be human beings, men and stones. Upon it are angels, stern, tough, they do not disobey Allah concerning every command He gives them, and they do everything they are commanded. So Allah advised us, and no one is more gentle to us, no one is more merciful to us than our Lord. And He is telling us in the clearest terms. He is making it so clear. But where are those who take heed? Protect yourselves and your children from the fire. The point of emphasis in this ayah, my brothers in Islam, and I'm addressing the parents now, that before we are able to protect our children, we need to protect ourselves. They go together, hand in hand. You cannot, and the example I will give you is someone who is drowning. If you are drowning, and there's someone else drowning along with you, will you be able to save that other person if you are both drowning? No. You will drown with each other. When do you save a drowning person? When you yourself have been saved. After they throw a rope to you and you are pulled to the shore, now you have the means to throw the rope to the other drowning person and save them. If you're not saved, you cannot save a drowning person. And similarly, if we want to save our children from the hellfire, then we ourselves must save ourselves first. And unfortunately, brothers in Islam, we have some shortcomings in this area. We have not yet really understood the purpose of life. We have not really prioritized until today. It seems that our priorities are in the dunya, not in the life to come. But this is a very sad reality, because Allah said that these are the people of the hellfire. Among the reasons why someone will enter the hellfire, كَلَّا بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Nay, but you favor the life of this world. Favoring the life of this world is among the first and most important means of why someone will enter the hellfire. So we as parents need to prioritize. Your life should be for the sake of Allah. Your salah for the sake of Allah. Your living, your death for the sake of Allah. When you have this attitude, naturally your children will follow your footsteps. When you do what Allah wants, then your children will do what you want. So we need to fix ourselves first. And if you love your children, if you truly, truly love your children, know that it will be very disturbing to see them being hurt. Even when your child is sick and it requires that he gets a vaccination, a single shot, and you willingly take him to the doctor or take her to the doctor to get the shot for cure, still in the depth of your heart you are disturbed by the idea that a needle will go into your son or your daughter, even though it's a cure. You don't want it. You don't want to see them cry. You don't want to see him hurt. This is what love that Allah instilled in our hearts towards our children. So how is it then that we let them lead the life of someone who's going to the hellfire and we don't care? It's amazing. There's a paradox that cannot be solved. If we really love them, then why don't we teach them Islam? This Xbox, this PlayStation 3, this Nintendo, these Game Boys, I'm sorry I'm mentioning all these names, but it seems that this is the lives of our children. Their whole lives revolve around games and sports, and we are responsible. We are responsible. Wallahi, the children of the Sahaba had none of that. Had not even a bicycle, ya Shaykh. Not even a bicycle for them to ride outside. They lived the life of the humble and simple people. I'm not telling you go back and live in the desert and have your children have nothing. No, this is extreme. But we also need to be moderate in the things we provide. Music is haram. And all these games have music, they can't play them. Naked women are haram. And all these games predominantly have naked women. And this is not allowed. They waste time. And time is valuable. You pay 20,000 riyals, 15,000 riyals for the tuition in school. And the time he's supposed to be doing homework, he's playing with the games. Then he fails. You just wasted money. You wasted money. We should be brave. It's not a big deal. What does it take for you to take the game, bring a hammer, and crush it? Nothing. Allah will reward you with goodness. Allah will reward you with goodness. Be a brave man. Tell your son, I'm sorry. I've been betraying you. I've been cheating you. I told you that this is because I love you. Allah, I don't love you. Because if we don't change as an ummah, If we don't recalculate our steps, we will be destroyed. How are we going to rise again when our children are not at a caliber that is pleasing to Allah? If we don't take the initiative, who will? Our children need to be directed according to the Quran and the Sunnah strictly. Every child should be respectful, should know how to give salamu alaykum before he says hi and hello. He should respect the elder. He should know how to eat with his right hand, how to say Bismillah, how to make the adhkar and adhkar. How many of our children know this today? Some of the children don't even know the most basic of Islamic etiquettes. Why? Because we don't teach them, but we teach them games. We need to stop the video game business. Some of the kuffar, the non-Muslims, they have taken these toys away because they want their children to be successful in the dunya. And we're unable to do it so they can be successful in the life to come. Everything is done with moderation. Try to live a life without a television set and a PlayStation. And trust me, you will have plenty of time to implement the deen of Allah. Plenty of time to teach him the Quran and the Sunnah. Plenty of time to take him outside to the ocean and to the nature and show them the greatness of Allah's creation. Plenty of time. But when we're watching TV all the time and playing video games, you don't have time. It becomes school, homework, video games, sleep. Even salah, they don't show up in the masjid. So my brothers in Islam, let us wake up. Let us be real with each other. You know, I could come here and fake all you want. I could tell you exactly what you want to hear. So you can leave and say, Alhamdulillah, I'm doing my job. But I don't want to do that. That's fake. I will tell you the bitter truth so it will become sweet with time. I have to do so. Don't think this is extreme or anything. But when people make things easy and other people keep them firm, there's a better chance that we will stick to that which is firm. But if everyone makes it easy, trust me, it will be very easy. And because of that, look at our condition. We have went far away from the path which will lead to Jannah. And we need to go back on track. How is it done? By making extreme moves. Among them, changing the way of our lives. Providing our children with their rights. And on top of the list, they lead an Islamic life. Then comes the academic, social, economic, and everything else. Once we do so, then you will see the blessings of Allah in your lives. And you will realize that the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will then be implemented in your case, wherein he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانُ انْقَطَعَ عَمَلِهِ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ إِلَّا مِنْ صَدَقَةٍ جَارِيَةٍ أَوْ عِلْمٌ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ أَوْ وَلَدٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْعُو لَهُ. When the son of Adam dies, his deeds will be cut off except from three sources: a recurrent charity, knowledge which you leave behind for the people to benefit from, and a righteous child supplicating for you. Supplicating Allah to have mercy and forgiveness to you. Then you will realize that you have fulfilled your job concerning your children. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us understanding of the deen and to make us among those who listen to the reminder and follow the best of it. Verily He is able to do all things. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ.